could once again just stand to our feet. It is truly an honor and a privilege to introduce one of our heroes in our faith, Sister Lynn Jewett from Guatemala. She has got a tremendous testimony. She's going to come preach tonight, whatever she feels up to. Let's give her a big round of applause. God bless you, sister.
Praise the Lord, everyone. You can be seated if you can say Gloria a Dios. Oh, man, you guys did awesome. That's great. You do speak Spanish. Look at that. That's awesome. I had to do this morning. You have to forgive me because I have gray hair now and I don't remember much. So there are bookmarks out on the table if anybody wants. I'm going to do my little commercial. And I brought money from Guatemala. You can change a dollar for a dollar, and it's real money. It doesn't work here, but it works there. And there's some brochures and stuff about the orphanage if you want to see. This morning, I got to share with you some things about our orphanage that we're doing. So tonight, so that the people that were here this morning don't have to hear exactly the same thing, I have a little video that is made to the song that says, "There Are No Orphans of God." And this ministry has opened up in Guatemala since 2007. I mean, I'm involved in children's ministries around our region since probably 96. So this is just an extension of what God has been doing with my life. And I'm so excited to be a part of this new project and opening up a home for 100 abused, neglected, abandoned children of the streets of Guatemala. Do you want to go ahead and put that video up? Jesus' name, yes.
Who here among us has not been broken? Who here among us is without guilt or pain? So oft abandoned by our transgressions, if such a thing as grace exists, then grace was made for lives like this. There are no strangers, there are no outcasts, there are no orphans of God. So many fallen, but how? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I was really stirred this morning by this project that's going on down in Guatemala. My wife and I, as many as you know, are approved to adopt a child. We're going through New Beginnings down in Mississippi, and I don't know, something just really stirred in my spirit this morning, and the Lord led my wife and I we're going to give some funds to this cause, and I asked Pastor Roy if I could raise some money tonight. Never done this before, but I thought it was so neat. She had a PowerPoint this morning, for those of you who weren't here, and she had gone through and hidden it. You can, in a PowerPoint, hide slides so they don't view, but however, when we played them through our software, they still played. And I thought it was great because all these slides were going up that were showing needs, and she's like, oh, that's right. We've got that taken care of. Office equipment, yeah, oh, yeah, we got that. And after service, she said, I was kind of a little embarrassed, but I'm like, I thought it was great because it's like, nope, we're good. Nope, we're good. Nope, we're good. But there is a need, and that is the multi-purpose building. This is where the kitchen will be and many other things, and the need is $25,000. I thought if we could raise $25,000 tonight, maybe we could get like a Roy H. Grant refrigerator or something, you know? You know, that, and then we'll all go down there and have a grill out and, you know, amen, amen. But my wife and I want to give the first $1,000. I talked to the Hyphen Service, and they committed to under just $1,000 already in their service. Justin Wall, who is our Bible quiz director, said that quizzing is going to give $1,000. He also, him and Sarah, are personally giving $1,000. So we already have $4,000 raised. And so I wonder tonight if there would be anyone else who would join me in giving $1,000, pledging to give $1,000 to the Hope Orphanage down in Guatemala. Anybody give $1,000? Got one. Amen. We got two. Hallelujah. Three. Four. Any others that have $1,000? Hallelujah. Five. Hallelujah. Six. Amen. Amen. Those who are willing to give $500. Hallelujah. One, two, three, four. Hallelujah. Five. And ministry leaders, if you want to give from your ministries, that's awesome too. Five. Hallelujah. Amen. Six. Someone's raising their hand. I'm not seeing. Amen. So that's 3,000 plus 6,000 is 9,000. Amen. Anyone can give $100 tonight. Amen. One, two, three, or pledge to give. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. 13, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Renee, I hope that was at the 100 for you because you, okay. I don't know if she was saying, I think she's pledged like for 1,600 so far. No. Amen. Then $50. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Amen. 10, 11. 12, 13, 14. Amen. And then $25. Awesome. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Was that a pointing, Rachel, or was that another 25? I lost count, but 10, I think. Amen. 11. Amen. Hopefully someone's keeping count because I can't keep all that in my head. Do we have an approximate? 11 times 25 is about 300 plus 9,000 plus. Anyways, we're at about $10,000, give or take a few hundred or a thousand. Amen. But if you, for those who didn't raise their hands, we'll count you for something. Amen. No, but if you would mark that, the home project, on your check or on your tithing envelope, if you're not able to give it tonight, you don't have your checkbook, please just put that in the offering in the next couple weeks, and God will bless you, and we'll have a fridge down there with Roy's name on it, Pastor Roy. Amen. And we will see great things in the children of Guatemala, the revival that will come out of those children. Amen. Amen. We want Sister Jewett, oh, actually, we want, sorry, the ushers to come at this time. Amen. to take the offering. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We want to pray, and if you want to, sister.
I praise you, Jesus, for your presence. Oh, I praise you, Lord, and I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I am overwhelmed by God's goodness. And to feel his presence so sweet in an offering. Only in a Pentecostal church can that happen. But God is amazing that his presence is in everything that we do when we do it unto him. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. I got to try to get a hold of myself here before I get this all this weeping spirit, I tell you. I am just so blessed, blessed beyond measure to be here with you folks tonight. You can go ahead and start the PowerPoint. I redid it this afternoon, and so maybe all the hidden slides are gone, and I redid it, and we're going to talk about a whole bunch of other things. I hope I can get to some great, amazing testimonies. So if you hit the slideshow, that should work, and then hit enter, and we're good. Guatemala, land of eternal spring, 70 degrees year-round. I am so blessed. I am the spoiledest missionary on the planet. I don't have air conditioning. I don't have heat, but I have screens, and that's about all I need. At Jesus, and I'm good. We're making tamales there, and they're really yummy. I'm blessed. I'll tell you what. I have been so blessed by the Lord. Go ahead. If you don't know where Guatemala is, just drive south for about 9 days, and you'll get there. Hopefully. It's not suggested. You shouldn't be driving through Mexico right now because the narcos have taken over the highways. But you might. That's why airplanes were invented. So, you know, you just get on the plane and hop over and you're there. I literally have driven it. It took me 10 days from New Brunswick, Canada. I hope I never have to do that again the rest of my life. But hallelujah. Anyhow, go ahead. Languages, we speak Spanish is our legal language, but 56% of the population do not speak Spanish or it is not their first language. They speak Indian dialects. And I was telling everybody this morning, every Sunday we have church in 16 different languages around the country. And what is really neat is every village dresses differently. So the ladies, they wear these 6 to 9 yards of material, and they wrap it around and around and around and around. And then they have this long faja, it's called, and it's like a long piece of belt. And they tie that till you can't breathe. And that's how they wear the skirt. Well, I have one of those skirts, but I cheat, and I got a zipper because I don't have that much faith. I've tried it. I just can't do it right. So they have a huipil, which is hand woven, and the mothers teaches their daughters the pattern, and that's the only pattern they know how to make. And so everyone in that village, oh, ladies, they all dress the same. So it's real cool. You come to church, and everybody's dressed exactly the same. And you always have an apron on. And what's really neat is when we have a district event, we get all the orange people over here, and we get all the greens over here, and the turquoise with the burgundy and their hair. It is so amazing. I went to a conference one time up in the mountains, and there was these orange people. Well, they weren't really orange, but their clothes were orange. And so they had this orange thing in their hair. I thought, wow, we reached a new village. And I knew just by the clothes that they had on, they were from the town of Nebach, and they have a lace blouse with this orangey red stuff and this big orange thing in their hair. And it was so cool. There was like 22 of them. And so I knew we had reached a new village. It was so exciting to be a part of reaching out to new villages and taking the gospel there. Isn't that awesome? Go ahead. It's so fun. So those that weren't here this morning, a little bit about myself. I've been there 26 years. Next year will be half of my life, so figure out how old I am. Children's ministry coordinator, that's what I have been over our region. So I travel in the Caribbean, Central America, and other parts of the world doing kids' crusades. And I'm so excited about your kids' crusade this coming weekend. That is awesome. I've been privileged to be in countries where they did not know that children could get the Holy Ghost. And I got a couple of pictures, and I want to share a story about that. I'm the president of the orphanage, and thank you for making that happen. God is supplying every single need that we have. And it's been amazing how God has been doing that. I've had a 40-foot container fall out of the sky from a jail that went out of business in Texas with stuff to go in the kitchen. Like, it's been crazy. But God is awesome. God is just awesome. I'm also the administrator of our Bible college, and we have 608 students this year. So the orphanage is on my spare time. But anyway, go ahead. Thank you, Calvary Gospel Church. You guys are so awesome. Give yourself a hand. You are so awesome. I have so enjoyed being here. Amazing, 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 amazing. If I didn't have so much to do, I might just park, but I got too much to do, so I'm going to have to carry on. Go ahead. Our churches, we have 203 churches, 227 ministers. The country is about the size of Tennessee, so that gives you an idea. 161 preaching points, over 1,000 cell groups or fellowships, home fellowships. And any Sunday, we have more than 20,000 people gathered together worshiping the one true God. That's so awesome. Go ahead. Our Bible schools, we have 24 around the country. Two are under construction right now, and one is above the clouds. I told them this morning about how you drive 9 hours from the Capitol, and you go up about 15,000 feet above sea level, and you pass through the clouds, and you keep going for another hour, and the clouds are down there. And that's where we're building a Bible school. It's really cool. Go ahead. We have 174 students in our Bible school every Monday night. For 6 years, that's what it takes to graduate. Talk about faithful. We're excited about that. I want to hurry to my stories. I got to get to some awesome stories. Go ahead. This is what our building looks like inside. We're hoping to buy the whole block eventually. We just keep running out of space. Good problems. We have actually expanded some. This is the plans for that Bible school I told you about. That's above the clouds. We just had a group of men from Oklahoma come put the roof on this whole arm and two-thirds of the way back. We're hoping to have classes there by June. That's real exciting. Go ahead. Reaching a nation through Bible school training, that's how you reach them. I'm never going to learn 23 languages and 51 variations. I am not that smart. But if I can have someone come that can speak those languages, one or two or three, and they can take it back to their village, that's how you reach a nation. I believe that with all of my heart. She's for Christ. You folks have given the offerings for She's for Christ, and I'm so grateful that you have, because I don't have to ride the bus like this. I told them this morning about riding the bus and riding on the step. If you got one hand in and one foot on, you're on. And so one day I counted how many were between me and the bus driver, and there were 22 of us. And there were 7 of us on the bottom step, and that's why there wasn't room for 14 feet. There was only room for 7. So you each had 1 foot in and 1 foot out, and you hung on to somebody. I always like to hang on to the door because I felt safer. But when I rode the buses, I got robbed about once a week. And so now that I have a She's for Christ car, I get robbed a whole lot less. That's awesome. In fact, I think that should be their slogan. She's for Christ. Buy cars for missionaries. They get robbed a whole lot less. That would be cool. Go ahead. So this was the one that I had. I told the story this morning about being held up at gunpoint and them taking that car away from me. The next picture is my new one. Now, this one is out in a cornfield because I went to visit one of our pastors. This past term, which is 4 years, when we say a term is 4 years, I really was, I think, disaster ministries could have summed up the entire 4 years. Because we had every natural disaster known to man except a tsunami. We had a tornado, which we've never had a tornado before in our life. And it came down our street and took the roof off the church and left nothing but the refrigerator. That happened. We then had 2 Class 5 hurricanes that came through. We then had 2 earthquakes, 7.2 at that. I mean, we've had volcanoes blow up, and seriously, I mean, they blow up every day. But, I mean, we had a serious one where we had to evacuate 35,000 people. So, I mean, we seriously have had nothing but disasters. But you know what? God is in it. It's amazing what God did. You see, after one of those 7.2 earthquakes, I think the next picture will show it, one of our pastors, this is Brother Sebastian. Brother Sebastian, he has 10 children. He came to our Bible school, and in the first term, he was getting 10 or 15 out of 100. And he went to Brother Brad, the missionary that I work with and director of the Bible school, and went to his office and said, "Brother, I'm failing like really, really, really bad. I never really went to school, and so I can't read or write very well, but I just can't do it. I want to come to Bible school, but I just can't do it." So Brother Brad said, "Are you learning anything?" And he said, "Oh, Brother Brad, I'm learning so much from the Word of God. It is so awesome, amazing." He said, "Well, you know what? Well, let's help you. We'll do oral exams so you don't have to write them, and we'll just try to help you out. You just come and keep learning. Let's not worry about the numbers." So that man stayed in Bible school for 3 years, and he graduated with a 75% average. By the third year, he could read. God blessed him. That man went from our Bible school back to his village. He started 5 churches. He's now the presbyter in that area. You see, every time you give to Mother's Memorial, you're making it happen. You're making it so that a man like him, a pastor who has 10 children and no funds, can come to Bible school. You really make that happen, and I thank you for that. So we had a 7.2 earthquake, and his house was flattened. He had an adobe home, which is just mud and straw. I think the next picture is the next day after the earthquake, I went to see how they were, and there was nothing standing but those 2 poles. Everything they owned was under the dirt. They had already swept it and made it neat. And so he had already put some together, some plastic and some cardboard and some tin, and made a little hut for his 10 children and his family. And it was cold. It was in the winter. Our cold is like 50 degrees, but you have to think there's no heat. There's nothing to keep you warm, and it's just nothing but the wind. And so when I went to see him, it was during Hurricane Sandy. And so I called around some pastors and some churches and Compassion, and I wanted people to help. We had 5 pastors lose their home or a part of their church. We had 3 widow ladies that lost their home. So there were 8 people affected by the earthquake. Nobody lost their life within our church family. And we thank the Lord for that. So I began to call around, but everybody was involved in Hurricane Sandy. And I just kind of got aggravated. I was like, seriously, people in the United States of America have insurance. And they can get stuff. And our people don't have that. And I just got aggravated. And so I had a conversation with the Lord. And it's like, Lord, you got to help our people. What am I going to do? Do you know what God did? God is so amazing. His ways are so much higher than our ways. He's always got it figured out, even though he hasn't filled me in yet. But he just really does. So I put on Facebook that we had this pastor that lost his home, and he's got 10 kids, and we got this other pastor who's got 4 kids, and they lost their church, and I put all this up on Facebook. Sister E.J. Kim, our missionary in Korea, she sent me a text, and she said, "I'm going to text my friends in Korea," and she sent me $3,675 the next day by Western Union, and we were able to fix every one of those churches and homes. Because of Korea. But do you see what God did? You see, I thought I had it all figured out. I knew that the great United States of America was going to help me. But God had another plan. And do you know what? I have never felt so much a part of the family of God than our Korean brothers reaching out to help our Guatemalan brothers to make a difference in this world. Is that not amazing? You know, when God does it, it's so much better. It's so amazing how God did it. But that's not all that happened. Okay, the next picture is his upgrade. So he got a concrete house. I mean, it's just plain old concrete. Concrete floor. He's got 3 rooms, so the kids actually have room. And mom and dad have room, and there's a kitchen. So they have 3 rooms now, and they're just plain old concrete. But they're so excited because they got a serious upgrade. Well, do you know what? God was in the whole thing. Because last November, in their Indian village, in their Mayan village, they always vote on a spiritual leader. It used to be like the witch doctor of the Indian tribe. Well, they've kind of graduated to spiritual leader. Well, they had elections. And do you know who became the sumo sacerdote? The high priest of the K'iche' people is our United Pentecostal Church pastor. Hallelujah! That same man. You see, God allowed that earthquake to destroy his home so that he could get an upgrade from Korea and that the village people could see. This is the only man for miles that has a concrete house. He's got a serious upgrade.
and God provided it. And the people around saw that God provided. And so when they realized that, they're like, this man's close to God, and we want him to be our spiritual leader. And seriously, in Spanish, when you call a UPC pastor a sumo sacerdote, it sounds hilarious. Because it's almost like the Catholic high priest, right? It's your high priest. That's what we're calling him. So we have the United Pentecostal Church high priest. Praise God. God knows how to do all things well, no? That's just amazing. Go ahead. God is awesome. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this, is a verse I used this morning. You know, when Brother Sebastian came to Bible school and he couldn't even read and write, and he was getting 10 and 15 out of 100 of his average, like really, we didn't see a lot of potential. But God did. He saw huge potential. And now he's a great leader and respected among his Mayan people. There's over 1,000 of them. And he is respected. You know, sometimes we can't see anything in that person sitting beside us, but God can. You know, sometimes we look at the outside, and I thank God that he looks on the inside. And he sees the plans that he has for you. You know, plans as in plural, P-L-A-N-S. So there's more than one plan for your life. And God can be in it. Praise God. I got to go. I got to tell my stories. Oh, my goodness. Children's ministries. This has been my passion. This is where God has had me since 1996. I've been over our region in children's ministries. Go ahead. I got to tell you this story. I've been to Cuba 4 times. And every time it's been an adventure and a half. This first time that I went to teach teacher training and teach them that they need to train up a child in the way they should go, for when they're old, they will not depart from it, like it says in Proverbs. And I went there to teach them, you know, we've got to have Sunday school. They didn't really know about what that meant. And so I filled duffel bags full of Sunday school material, a whole year's worth of Sunday school material for every church. And we took papers and colorants and crayons, and we took everything we could imagine. And we did a 3-day seminar. Sister Vicky Simino went with me. She used to be, her and her husband were missionaries to Africa, and she was over children's ministries there. And so we were teaching the seminar, and they kept asking me where my cross was. And I was like, I don't have cruz. I'm sorry. I don't have one. But where's your cross? Well, I don't have one. And about the third day, I finally like, well, why do I need a cross exactly? Well, we're going to do a crusade on Sunday, right? Yep. We're going to have a kids crusade on Sunday. And they said, well, you know, you need your cross. I was like, why do I need my cross again? And so they said, well, yeah, you got to build a wooden cross and put it on your back and walk down the street and have a parade, and that's a crusade. And I'm like, that's not a crusade in my world. It might be a crusade in your world, but eso no es una cruzada. And so I begin to tell them that we're going to do Father Abraham and head and shoulders, knees and toes, and we're going to sing and we're going to worship God. And then I'm going to dress up like an old woman in the Old Testament, and I'm going to be that little old widow lady that she had an empty vessel that needed to be filled with the oil of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to have people get the Holy Ghost, and they just stared at me. But do you know what happened? When we began to explain what we were going to do in a kids crusade, 12 got the Holy Ghost. In the explanation! It was amazing. And so this picture, this is so cool what God did. So there were several teachers there, and some of them brought their kids. And that as we were explaining what we're going to do in a kids crusade, see there, when you have church, you can't have more than 25 people. We would all be in jail because they think it's a political rally. And so you have to be very careful about that. So what we did is we had birthday parties. So I went and bought a birthday cake every time we had a service. So we were going to have, if anybody asked why there's all these people, well, it's a birthday cake. I don't know whose birthday, but it's somebody's. And then we would just pray that somebody would get a gift and open it and speak in tongues. And then we would really, really pray that if they got real dirty, we would go get all their sins washed away in the ocean. And so we talked about baptism, getting washed up after the cake and getting your present. You know, that's kind of how we had to talk in code. It was so awesome. So we did those things. But in this service, well, it wasn't even a service, in the seminar, we were talking about getting what we're going to do in the crusade. This little boy began to worship God. And when those 12 got the Holy Ghost, there was a man came to me, and he was the president of the work of Cuba at the time. And he looked at me with tears pouring down his cheeks, and he said, I didn't know children could get the Holy Ghost. And you see, that was his grandson. You see, when God does things, he does all things well.
You see, that grandfather didn't know, and he didn't even believe that children could get the Holy Ghost. So what does God do? Fills his grandson. Do you think he's a believer? Amen. He is a 100% believer. Another trip that I went on, we went to Nicaragua, and I did a kids' crusade there with the national board behind me saying, we wanted a real crusade. We didn't want you. And so I went in the curtains and prayed, oh, Jesus, if you ever showed up, please show up now. And we had 2,000 kids. They did bring the kids. They had brought 2,000 kids into this place, handed me a microphone, and 275 kids got the Holy Ghost. It was amazing. Go ahead. Go ahead. I got to hurry. I got to tell you this next story. I do teacher training seminars every year throughout our region. Every year we have 400 or 500 teachers and pastors that come, and we try to be a blessing to the country it's in, so every year it's in a different country. This year we were in Nicaragua, and this lady was one of our teachers that came, and she traveled 2 days standing up on a bus coming from Honduras, and she came for a two-day seminar to go home on a bus standing up the whole way for 2 days. And she wanted to know more about teaching kids. And so this year, our focus was on kids' prayer. And we talked about the lab method. You listen. You know, you don't pray for your big toe if your head hurts. That just doesn't work. You got to ask, and I pray for you. You got to be bold and believe and do it in Jesus' name, and God will answer. And we talked about these things, and God did mighty miracles in the place. And so this lady went home, and she was so excited. She went to her little village down the dirt road in the mountains of Honduras, and she said, I might have a little church, but my kids are going to know how to pray. And so she began to teach her kids. 8 months later, she got very ill, and she went to the clinic down the dirt road, and they gave her something that caused her to have an aneurysm and caused her to bleed in her brain, and she began to bleed out her nose and ears and everywhere, and the doctor said maybe 3 hours she might live. She's just going to bleed. And so the word got out in the little village. Well, and when the little village began to hear about it, a little 7-year-old girl in her Sunday school class, she said, I got to go pray for my teacher. So she ran down that dirt road into that clinic, and she says, Sarai, Sarai, don't stop. Where's my teacher? Where's my teacher? Where's Sarai? And she went and found her. She put her hand on her teacher's head, and she said, Jesus, you can't take her yet because I got too much to learn. Healer, stop the bleeding. In Jesus' name, amen. She went home. She prayed. Her teacher taught her. You pray, you believe, and you go on home. And so she did. About 3 hours later, the bleeding stopped. It took about 3 weeks for her memory to come back. She didn't know who she was or anything. 3 weeks later, this picture was taken 3 months later when she came to the next seminar. And she stood there at that seminar and she said, when I talked about kids' prayer, and I learned about kids' prayer last year, I did not know that it would save my own life. You know, we teach our kids all kinds of crazy stuff. And if you tell your kid, if you're a teacher and you tell the kids in your class that the moon's made of green cheese, they're going to say, Sister Lynn said the moon's made of green cheese. And you're going to have fun teaching them it's not. So we need to tap into that and train our children. I got more stories and I got to hurry. Here's another one. Nicaragua. This is Suleimar, the 7-year-old little girl that prayed for her teacher. I didn't catch up with her till a couple years later, so she's a little bit older there. But her name is Suleimar, and she's the little girl that went to the hospital and prayed for her teacher. And she knew that God would answer if you pray in Jesus' name, believing. Praise God. This is the 5-year-old from Nicaragua. She went to the hospital with her mom. Her mom was sick, and there was nobody to keep her, so the mom took her with her, and she said, now you sit on that bench, and don't you move till I come back, and I'm going to go see the doctor. So she went in the little clinic, and the little girl sat there, and she said, oh, Jesus, touch my mommy. Jesus, make my mommy all better. Jesus, touch my mommy. Jesus' name. She sat there 6 hours. After 6 hours, she got hungry, and so she jumped up and said, Mommy, I'm hungry. Tengo hambre. And she went looking for her mother, and she couldn't find her. What she didn't know was that her mother had died. They had the toe tag, she was in the body bag, and had been shipped to the morgue. When that little girl began going down to that hallway towards the morgue and was saying, Mommy, Mommy, tengo hambre, when she was hollering for her, all of a sudden they heard shouting. And some lady began to scream, It's cold and dark in here, let me out. God raised her from the body bag in the morgue. I got more of those stories. More of those stories. It's amazing. When you invest in a child, you have no idea where God's going to take that child. And when you let them to know that there is a God that hears and answers prayer, God can do something with them. I got to hurry. Go ahead. do training sessions every year, $4,000, $1,000 each year to help subsidize the seminars. It's another project. Go ahead. About the orphanage, we can just flip through these. We did these this morning. That's our administration building that God has provided through the Louisiana district. Go ahead. Just some of the buildings. Each one of these houses will have room for 10 children. Why Guatemala statistics are rotten. 370,000 orphans live on the street. 90% have been abused. Every 2 hours, a 10 to 14-year-old little girl gets pregnant on the street. Every week, 10 are killed by violence. It's a horrible nation. But I want to make a difference in the life of a child. That's what we're only missing those because we need the monthly sponsors. And what you folks did today, you're making it possible to finish our largest building. And God is going to make it happen. Do you believe? I believe by August, I'm going to have kids in our facilities. Go ahead. I do have another story. You can partner with us. I have another story. I want to show you a picture. This is what you've done. You're helping with this project, the multi-purpose building. 25 to give 1,000. We've already done that. Go ahead. Praise God. The landscape, and that's another project for another day. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And there's some kids that I want to have happy, loving kids that love Jesus. That's what I want to see happen. Go ahead. Changing the world one life at a time is our motto. This is the story I got to tell you, and I'll be done. This is Irish Leda, that little girl with the arrow. I don't know how to make the circle around their head, so anyway. She's just such a sweet little thing. When I first went to Guatemala in 1989, Brother and Sister Dross were the missionaries. And Sister Dross had an elementary school. And we had devotions every Monday morning. And all these kids, we had about 142 kids at the time. And it came to a point where we had to decide if the building was going to be a Bible school or an elementary school. So we closed the elementary school, and we turned it into the Bible school that we have today. And that was the right choice. But all these kids had to go to another school. So this little girl went to a Catholic school, and she went to middle school and high school and graduated. And she ended up marrying a young man that out of the same school. And he was Catholic, what we call hueso colorado. He was like 100% Catholic. And he was a firm believer. And she married him. And when they began to have a family, she had a little girl. The little girl was just a baby. And she came to the door one day and she said, "I want my little girl to have the same experience I had. You see, one day in devotions, I got the Holy Ghost. And I want my little girl to have that same experience. Do you have a school?" And we said, "No, but the church is here." So she began to come back to church. She gave her heart to God. She won her husband to the Lord. And then she won her mom to the Lord. And then her two brothers and their wives. And then her dad and her stepmom and their three kids and their wives and their grandparents and who knows how many. Anyway, she had half the church over here that she won to the Lord. The next picture. Just this past January, her and her husband graduated Bible school. Every Monday night for 6 years, they came to school. And those kids would sit in the dining hall and do their homework while mom and dad went to Bible school. Irish Leda is the Sunday school director of our central church, and her husband is the head usher. We call deacons, diáconos, and they're involved on a national level as well. But who knew when that little girl was in her fifth grade, she didn't come from a church family. Her only experience with God is what she had in our little school. But when she became an adult, it's just like that verse says, when he's old, he will not depart from it. She came back because she wanted her little girl to grow up and know about Jesus. See, that's what I want to see happen. The next one, I think, is our scripture. "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I want to have an Irish Leda in our orphanage. I want to have a little girl that becomes a soul winner because somebody taught her that Jesus loves you. And Jesus cares about you and in your situation. He knows the very thoughts in your mind. He knows the intents of your heart. And he loves you today. And he's called every single one of us to make a difference. Go ahead. This has a song to go with it. If it works, it's all caused for such a time as this that we've all been called. Here we go. Thank you, Jesus.
All I have is now to be faithful, to be holy, and to shine, lighting up the darkness right now. I really have no choice but to voice the truth to the nations, the generation looking for God, for such a time as this.
for such a time as this.
We could all stand tonight. I was just sitting here, or sitting over there as the song was playing, thinking back about my own life. I've never lived any other life than my own. I can't live your life. I can't make decisions for you, and you don't make decisions for me. We make choices. I remember 1985, I made a choice to walk away from God. It wasn't until 1997 that I made another choice, and that was walk back to God. And you know, you have all of that time in between, and you say, Lord, I've wasted so much of my life. But God says, do you know what? I will restore unto you the years. I will restore unto you those years. And I look at my life now, and I'm so thankful that God has restored me for such a time as this. You may say, well, Brother Pastor Roy, that's your story, and the stories we heard tonight were about Guatemala. What's your story? Where are you tonight? Because God has called you to this place. He's called you here tonight for exactly such a time as this. You don't have to continue going down the road of frustration, doing the same things and struggling with the same things over and over and over and over and over again. I found myself so frustrated because it seemed like I kept falling into the same and stumbling over some of the same things year after year after year until I fully submitted my life to God. Did my life really begin to change? Tonight, if you want to change your life, nobody's going to make that decision for you. God's not going to force you to come down to this altar. He's not going to force you to repent. He's not going to force you to be baptized. But he says, all of this is here, and it's all available. And I want to give it to you as a gift from the God that created the heavens and the earth. He wants to give to us as a gift eternal life. What a trade-off. What a trade. I'll give you my sickness. I'll give you my sorrow. I'll give you my sin. And you'll give me the life eternal. That's just kind of a no-brainer. But yet we struggle with that because we don't want to give up control of our lives. And we have to be honest with ourselves. How much of control are we really having with our lives? We made a mess of things. I made such a mess of my life, and it wasn't until I said, okay, God, I can't do this anymore. I quit. I give up. And God stepped in. And boy, has my life changed. You want to change your life tonight? Wherever you're at, whatever you're struggling, whatever issue you have, God says, I want to be involved in your life. I want to change your life tonight. So I want to invite you down to this altar. You may say, I don't feel real comfortable. Well, I didn't feel very comfortable either. But sometimes we have to walk and be able to take and say, okay, God, I will meet you halfway. I will meet you. So as our praise team sings, we have people that would be willing to pray with you. If our prayer team could come down, Brother Thomas here and Brother Glenn and our evangelism team, if you've never repented of your sins, it all starts with repentance. You say, well, you know, I'm not real good at saying I'm sorry. Well, you don't really have to be real good at it. All you have to do is just do it. this isn't how well I do something or how eloquent I do something. It's just as simple as saying, Lord, I have just royally messed up, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Can you help me? Will you forgive me? Maybe tonight you're just struggling with all kinds of issues in your life. I hate to use the word even issues anymore, but you just have all of these struggles, these things that you struggle with. I want to invite you to come down insecurities, whatever it may be, God wants to do a miracle in your life.
You are life, in you death.